Let the torch of freedom burn. Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture. This is Walt Builders. We're taking on the hot topics of the day from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. It's my favorite day of the week here on Walt Builders. Good News Friday is here, and we got a lot of good news to share with you. Be sure to check out our websites today, wallbuilders.com and wallbuilderslive.com. Both of those sites have a wealth of information. There at Walt Builders Live, you can jump into some of the archives from the last few weeks if you missed any shows. And there at wallbuilders.com, great materials for you to get engaged and inspired and equipped to make a difference in your community. And it also has information about our various summer programs, pastors' briefings, all the different things going on as we rebuild the foundations, rebuild the walls so that we can restore our constitutional republic. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach and a former Texas legislator, and I'm here with David and Tim Barton. David's, of course, America's premier historian and our founder at Wall Builders. Tim's a national speaker and pastor and president of Wall Builders. And let's get into that good news. David Barton's going to start us with the first piece of good news.
Okay, Rick, I want to hit something that deals kind of with apologetics. And I know that sounds way out there, but it really is just understanding why you believe what you believe. And this is one of the things we do at Wall Builders a lot with young people, with teachers, with anybody else, is helping them understand the foundations for their belief, because there's so many people just believe what they've heard or what they've been told. They haven't checked it out. They don't have a basis for it. And so you really want a firm foundation for the beliefs you hold to be able to defend them, et cetera. So even as a Christian, we believe the Bible, but how do we know the Bible's true? And this is where things like archaeology come in. And we've talked in previous editions of Good News Friday about new discoveries that have been made. And you know, I go back to that thing they found with that tablet of part of the curses that were Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And there it was written, and that then convinced all these guys that, well, maybe all the slaves that came out of Egypt weren't illiterate, because here they are having written stuff. And so it just changed the whole look of things. And that was, what, 2 months ago?
Well, and specifically, it was you mentioned two mounts and you mentioned curses.
Right.
So it's part of, in the Old Testament, the Israelites, as they're getting ready to go into Canaan, and you find this in Deuteronomy 28, where Moses tells them, hey guys, if you do it God's way, you will enjoy blessings, and you'll be blessed in all these things, that these various areas of things you do, blessed in your coming, blessed in your going, blessed in the city and blessed in the field, blessed when you're harvester, planting your crops and you harvest your crops. But if you don't do it God's way, then you will live under a curse, and everything you do and everywhere you go, it's going to be a curse because you're not doing it God's way. In fact, when you do it against God's way, that's what it produces. And so as you're saying, they found that tablet, the tablet of curses, that was the literal confirmation of what you can see in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it's not only in Deuteronomy 28 that it lists the blessings and curses, but that's the one that's the most explicit, the most detailed, is Deuteronomy 28. And so finding it, that, as you mentioned, that there were some people saying there wasn't even written language back then, and so these guys couldn't have written all this down. So then finding this tablet, finding this stone, and actually having literal curses written on it, identifying these things, it verified not only was there written language, but actually this notion of God saying, if you don't follow these commands, you will live under a curse. Literally, that is there written in stone.
Yeah, and that's the key part, was they had found this thing dated all the way back to the time of Joshua, because a lot of the professors said, well, it was written hundreds of years later, and it wasn't at that time. It was actually done, you know, long after they got there. Well, no, this dates back to the time of Joshua when they're going into the promised land, and so it really was significant. So things like that, they become real foundations. You can say, hey, what I'm believing is not fairy tales here. This is stuff that has actual evidence with it. And to that end, here's a new discovery they have in Israel. And it deals with a pool that actually was built by King Hezekiah back 700 years before Christ. And this pool, this water area, it's actually where Jesus performed a miracle. And so what you have is a discovery of the Pool of Siloam. And if you read the New Testament, that's where Jesus healed a blind man, was at the Pool of Siloam. And they've just found the original Pool of Siloam.
Well, and maybe even to get a little more detail. So they knew where the pool was, but they hadn't done the full excavation of it. And so they found the steps going down to the Pool of Siloam, because we've been there, we've been going for years. In fact, next spring, we're taking another trip. And I'm so excited about this. Being able to go back to Israel, especially now that there's no of the COVID mandates and vaccines and all these silly requirements that were there for several years, Israel is now open up and it's safe. It's just so fun and exciting to go to the place where Jesus was, where he walked, where so much of the Bible happened. And so we've taken groups down to the steps, and they knew this was the Pool of Siloam. They knew where it was, but they had not completed the excavation. And so I was actually there in May when They had actual like big rig equipment, bulldozer kind of stuff down as they were loading those bulldozers up with dirt and they're taking the dirt out. They have finally finished the excavation because when I was there in May, they were trying to figure out how far, how deep is this pool? How wide is it? Because it was in the rock. So they knew eventually they're going to find the edge of it. They're going to find the bottom of it. And so they've been working on this excavation. Well, they finally have now finished it. And so they actually, at this point, they can say not just theoretically, well, we found the steps leading down. Like we were pretty sure it's Pool of Siloam. No, now it's excavated. It's there. They have now unveiled, so to speak, for the public to be able to see, and you can find pictures online where you can see the Pool of Siloam, the whole Pool of Siloam, and it adds a little perspective. When Jesus was there in healing and people were going down and there was water there, what did it actually look like? They've excavated it now where you actually can see what it looked like from not just the time of Jesus, but Dad, even as you're mentioning, 700 years prior with King Hezekiah being the one who did a lot of this initial digging and the initial establishing of this pool.
And so, as Tim mentioned, we've got a trip going to Israel next year, and this kind of stuff you can actually see. And when you do, it will rock your spiritual world. It's one thing to read it. It's one thing to hear us talk about it on a story. It's one thing for you to read in the newspaper. When you go there and stand there, you stand on the steps at the Pool of Siloam. You stand at the place where these things happen. It just absolutely does something that it's just, I don't even know how to explain it. I didn't think it's going to be a big deal when I went the first time. It absolutely changed my faith and took it much, much, much deeper, much stronger. So if you're interested, you can go to the website, but it's April 6th through the 14th of next year, next April 6th through 14th. Got a group going to Israel if you want to be part of that group. And where we go is, it's not just doing the tourist stuff. What we do is the Bible stuff. You actually go see the stuff. Just like we like American history, we like Bible history as well. And we'll go so many places, so many sites, 4, 5, 6, 7 a day, that we'll stop there and we'll pull the Bible out and read what the Bible says about that while we're right there at that spot. Like, read what the Bible says about the miracle of the Pool of Siloam with Jesus healing the blind man right there at that spot. It just comes alive in a way that'll change your faith. It is a really positive thing. So April 6th to the 14th of 2024, you can go to the website at wallbuilders.com. You can sign up for the trip there. It's a trip of a lifetime. You'll love it.
All right, folks, wallbuilders.com to find out more information about the trip next April. Tim, what's your first piece of good news today?
Well, guys, this one is pertaining to Disney, and the title says Disney sees massive fall off for Disney Plus Hulu subscriptions after price hike and woke policies. In this article, there's some great little tidbits of information where they identified that last month, and so this would have been in August, the company's market cap had fallen from $350 billion of March 2022 to $154 billion in August, which is a decline of $196 billion or a 56% drop in the overall stock in the company. So that's a major decline. Well,
now Tim, can you clarify for me now? Is that bad for business or good for business? If you
to lose $196 billion
value, probably not good for business. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, if it's a federal government, it's no big deal, right? But if you're a private company, it becomes more of a problem to lose $196 billion, right? This isn't like losing an F-35 somewhere along the way. This is $196 billion, right? That's a problem. Well, CEO Bob Chapek, in August of last year, August 2022, he set a target. They wanted to get 215 to 245 million subscribers by the end of fiscal year 2024. So a year and a half to grow their subscription list. However, the end of quarter three this year, they were down to 146 million Disney Plus subscribers.
I don't think that's 215 million.
No, they're losing ground in this. And the idea they're going to add 60 to 70 to 80 or 90 million subscribers by the end of next year, not going to happen. But what's great about this is, without acknowledging the reported shortfall, Bob Iger, the current CEO, said in February that Disney would cease providing subscriber forecasts. So they're like, we don't want to talk about it anymore. We're going to pretend like that never happened. So instead, they said, we're just going to focus on how profitable the company is, which, again, losing $196 billion, that's not really going to show a lot of profit there either. But his idea was to make them more profitable. They're going to start charging more for their subscription. Now, it's only $3 a month more, but when you have 146 million subscribers, and that's $3 a month, that's quite a few extra dollars coming in, but it has not helped them gain new subscribers. In fact, it's the indications we have at this point is that more and more people are leaving Disney+. Also, Disney is looking to sell off the ABC television network. So they're in a little bit of crisis mode, a little bit like Budweiser, a little bit like Target was for a while. And that's, to me, just really great to see, because Disney, when all these problems really started, was when they were in Florida and they began promoting some of these really woke policies for children. And for those that might not remember, in Florida, Disney began having political demands that children as young, and this is in the article, children as young as third grade be taught sexual matters. And it sparked a national fervor among conservatives, which led to boycotts against Disney Plus and Hulu, which Disney Plus owns the majority of that stock. They control Hulu as well. So this is great news, not just that when you go woke, you go broke, but when you begin trying to sexualize kids, when you begin doing those kind of evil things, that the market and the population is not so woke that they won't say, hey, this is really bad and we want to stop it. And by the way, even that thought of 146 million subscribers, that's around the world. So that's not just America. So this is great that at least in America and arguably even much of the rest of the world, they are not supportive of some of the Disney agenda. And also for those that might remember, there were executives at Disney that said they wanted to have at least 50% of their stars in their movies be focused on the LGBTQIA plus agenda and on minorities. And so they wanted to get away, which is why the movie The Little Mermaid that came out, they wanted to do a very different cast. And right, I mean, this is not a conversation about picking on somebody's race or color, ethnicity. That's not the point of this. It's more acknowledging that Disney was saying, we don't like white people anymore. We want to go a different direction. Instead of just saying, hey, let's make the very best movie we can make and let's have the very best actors and actresses play these roles, that would be a much better case and situation than, like, we've already seen some of the releases coming out from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, where it's not seven dwarfs anymore. It's these seven displaced people, and one of them happens to be a dwarf. So Disney is going in a very woke direction, and to this point, the people are not supporting it, and that is great news.
Yeah, and to add to this, we've covered a steady decline of Disney over the last several months. We've had several Good News Fridays talking about this. And to be real blunt on this, the Bible says you don't gloat when your enemy falls. And that's not what's happening here. This is a win, and that the reason Disney is falling is because there's a rising number of people who are supporting these traditional values, who are supporting the values that we've held dear. So for a while, it looked like the Disney values, the woke kind of values, Tim, you mentioned, that is what was growing and taking over. It appeared to be because everything looked to be going that way. And now we find, no, that's not it. There really is a majority of people, a growing majority. And so we're not gloating over Disney's fall. We're rejoicing over the fact that there's so many people that don't want to be part of the direction they're going.
Yeah, it's really about the people standing up to oppose the evil, the wokeness that's happening. And this is also, right, this is not a slam on everything Disney's ever done, because I grew up with Davy Crockett.
Oh, right? Man, I'm still watching the old Disney classics right now.
With the Swiss Family Robinson and Zorro.
Mine are in DVD, if you know what that is. I even have the VHSs I was watching on Disney, so
We actually had to preserve a VHS player just so that we could maintain those. And there's people out there going, guys, you can digitize that now. We know, but it's more fun on VHS.
Now, wait. You guys I gotta give the listeners a visual here, okay? You, when they say they have some VHSs, listen, the first time I went to the Barton Ranch and opened the closet in the room I was staying in, it was, no kidding, floor to ceiling VHSs stacked like three deep. They have a few movies from Disney, old Disney, John Wayne, just a couple, not many. So digitizing the Barton Library VHSs would require, I don't know, like the whole Pentagon, you would need a lot of people.
Well, we might have, you know, there might be closets with certain things in there, and it could include some movies along the way, right? But this is where also, if Disney would get back to those kind of movies, we would absolutely wholeheartedly support, because it was wholesome, good valued entertainment, and that's what they've gotten away from. And so it's great that the market and the people are not following them on that journey of decadence, on that journey of sexualizing kids and promoting evil things or promoting wokeness, as the case were. So that is great news that they are suffering the negative consequences of some really bad choices, and hopefully they will learn from this, and they'll go back to just making wholesome movies without promoting these woke agendas.
All right, so this is always good news when Disney is not doing well because of going woke, and like you said, let the market send a loud, loud message, and hopefully we can get them to reverse course, as well as support companies that are doing the right stuff and producing good content. So great news, folks. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Wall Builders, and it's Good News Friday.
Hey guys, we want to let you know about a new resource we have at Wall Builders called The American Story. For so many years, people have asked us to do a history book to help tell more of the story that's just not known or not told today, and we would say very providentially, in the midst of all of the new attacks coming out against America, whether it be from things like the 1619 Project that say America is evil and everything in America was built off slavery, which is certainly not true, or things like even the Black Lives Matter movement, the organization itself, not the statement Black Lives Matter, but the organization that says we're against everything that America was built on, and this is part of the Marxist ideology. There's so many things attacking America. Well, is America worth defending? Well, what is the true story of America? We actually have written and told that story, starting with Christopher Columbus, going roughly through Abraham Lincoln. We tell the story of America not as the story of a perfect nation or a perfect people, but the story of how God used these imperfect people and did great things through this nation. It's a story you want to check out. Wallbuilders.com, The American Story.
Welcome back to Wall Builders. Thanks for staying with us on this Good News Friday. Diving right back into our good news. David, what's the next piece of good news, man?
Well, Rick, one of the things that we have seen in recent years that has been concerning, in addition to the decline of the culture as Disney's trying to take it down, it appears to be coming back, is the fact that when you look at Christianity in America, it has been declining for a number of years. As a matter of fact, over the last 20 years, the percentage of Americans who are Christian has dropped by 20%. So literally, we're losing in the nation about 1% a year of people being Christian. So more coming in as non-Christian and secularists and progressives and whatever they are. And so this America that's been founded on this religious and moral and biblical foundation, it's been changing a lot. And we can certainly see that politically. But my concern has been, man, where are the Christians? Because every one of us, Jesus tells every one of us in the Great Commission to go and make disciples of other people. We should be winning people to this philosophy and sharing with them the Bible and sharing with them a relationship with Christ. And we just haven't seen that. And even in families, we see that, for example, if you look at a family, there's two adults and the average family has 1.94 children, so two kids. So the average family is four. And we're seeing that even parents are not able to keep their kids in the Christian faith, their own kids. And so there's a decline going over the last 20 years. But it looks like there are indications that things are starting to turn. I pulled a couple articles here that were really cool. This one I had not expected to see anywhere. It says, Spiritual Awakening Breaks Out at Texas A&M University, which is the Corpus Christi branch. So down at that branch, they've had 21 small group gatherings going at Texas A&M, Corpus Christi. And those small group gatherings, they end up just, and they're led by the students. And the students are sharing Christ with other students. And so they have gotten a hold of a local church, and there's a pastor there who just goes over periodically and takes the key and opens the church up so they can go in and do baptisms of all these students at Corpus Christi that are becoming Christians, moving over to the Christian faith out of secularism or whatever they were. So it's really good to see students actually winning other students to Christ and the fact that there are baptisms going on. And then I came across this article as well. It says a military chaplain in Missouri recently shared that he baptized more than 150 U.S. soldiers during basic training this summer. So Fort Leonard Wood, this one chaplain just this summer, he's led 150 people to Christ. And so I'm just seeing more and more articles like this with here a little, there a little, and it's all adding up and it's all becoming part of a movement. I think that's a really, really healthy trend, and every one of us, We all ought to make the commitment to go disciple someone. If you could just make a commitment to lead one person a year to Christ, that would grow the faith and that would turn the direction of the nation. We're just fighting a secular America right now, and that needs to change.
Well, and Dad, to your point, I mean, something that just to add a little context to what you're saying, If we would focus on reaching the lost, well, not just reaching the lost, which, again, to clarify, this is what you talk about a lot. It's discipling those we reach. Because part of the problem when you're saying that even for so many parents and so many families, and there's people listening right now that probably have gone through the heartbreak of seeing their kids reject the faith. And God is a God of choice and free will. And he allows people to choose and reject him right at the very beginning. Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, he allowed people to choose and reject him. One of the very strong accounts from the Gospels, examples of this, that the father of the prodigal son, and he leaves. But it's the reason we so believe in the power of prayer, and right, that praying mom, the praying grandmother, the praying dad and grandpa, where this prodigal son goes out and it hits hard times and nobody bails him out. He comes to his senses, he comes back home. So there are people we know that are going through heartbreak that have had to navigate that. And unfortunately, we hear these stories a lot when parents have sent their kids off to university and they get to university and they reject their faith, which is one of the many reasons we don't encourage sending kids to college at this point, unless your kids have prayed and think God's calling them to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be an engineer.
And to be clear, there are maybe a dozen colleges we would kind of say, hey, you probably won't lose your faith here.
Oh, yeah. Whether it's somewhere like an Arizona Christian, there's a few that we actually, and I'm saying that because we were just with Lynn Munsell not long ago, the president of Arizona Christian. George Barna is on staff there. So there's some very, very solid Christians who are there. But yeah, I think there's probably a dozen universities we'd recommend. If you're going to college, these are great ones to go through. And they actually will encourage your kids to grow in their faith, not to reject and walk away from faith. With that being said, as we're talking about, if we would just focus on reaching those around us, it's not just reaching them as far as introducing them to Jesus and then let's go find somebody else. Jesus said, go make disciples. And it's a process of discipleship. And that's what has been so lost in culture and really kind of the modern church era, the modern church movement, is we want to reach the lost and just tell everybody about Jesus. At this point, we don't just need to tell them about Jesus. We need to help disciple them in learning how to live like Jesus. How do we follow Jesus? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. Well, so what are the commands of Jesus? Because we need to keep those so that we can show we love him. And he said that all men would know that we were his disciples. And he told us to his disciples, right? But he told them, all men will know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. 1 Corinthians 13 walks us through, what does love look like? It's patient, it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it isn't proud, it isn't rude, it isn't self-seeking, right? Read 1 Corinthians 13, it lays this out. All that, again, just reiterating, as you're challenging people that we need to focus on reaching those around us, I just want to remind people, it's not just introducing them to Jesus, it's helping them learn who Jesus is, who he was, how do we follow him, how do we become a disciple? And it's a discipleship process. If we would focus on discipleship, then let's go find somebody else. Let's introduce them to the Lord. Let's disciple them. And discipleship can take a couple years. Jesus discipled, right, the 12, and it was 2 to 3 years for all of them that he poured into them. And then he went on and, right, said, okay, guys, now you're in charge. Now you go do everything I showed you, you go do. And it's that discipleship model. And Dad actually had in my stack as well about the chaplain from Missouri, Logan Lair. And just incredible what we are seeing, how God is moving. You mentioned on college campuses, in the military. There is no doubt that God is still on the move in the midst of craziness, in the midst of crisis. It's very clear that God is still doing something. Another great fun example of people of faith sharing some of their faith and sometimes in strategic ways. But this headline says, Miss American winner says, having 7 children makes her feel the most empowered. And this was great. Hannah Nealman delighted people across the country, and I'm reading part of the article, with a viral response to a question. She was asked, when have you felt the most empowered? And pageant contestants went all different directions. But she is the one who gave an incredible answer. She said, I have felt this feeling 7 times now. As I bring these sacred souls to the earth, after I hold that newborn baby in my arms, the feeling of motherhood and bringing them into the earth is the most empowering feeling I have ever felt. And guys, we've talked about it on and off the air. A lot of conversations about how some of the modern feminist movement has just so degraded the reality of the value of motherhood and the greatness of motherhood. And to have the Miss American winner say that where she feels the most empowered is right. It's not having a job title. It's not running a company. It's not this argument of, you know, making more money than all the men, this equal pay, whatever it is. Not some of these feminist movement arguments. It was saying, no, being a mother is one of the greatest things ever. And it really is one of the greatest things ever. If you study scripture, it's one of the most important things ever. And actually for all of us, we would talk about the value of even our own moms and how they poured into us and the value of a Christian mom and what they do in the home. It's the reason that we also very much support the homeschool movement, knowing that value of having parents pour into kids and help raise kids. But just so cool that on such a big stage, the Miss American winner, Hannah, when asked this female empowerment question, said being a mom is one of the greatest things ever. And I think that is really encouraging, as we've seen Roe versus Wade being struck down by the Supreme Court with that Dobbs decision. I think we're seeing a growing movement of people again, maybe even in kind of a public level, where people are coming back and saying, hey guys, the value of motherhood, the value of being a parent, the value of bringing children into life is something that is overlooked and shouldn't be understated. And I think we're seeing a little bit of a restoration of that, which to me is very encouraging.
All right, well, guys, we're out of time for today. That's a lot of good news. We'll have a lot more for you next week. Be sure to check out our website, wallbuilderslive.com. You can look in the archives and go back to some other good news programs. Appreciate David and Tim doing the research and finding all these good stories. We miss these in the major media, right? They don't give you the good news. They only give you the bad and the ugly. And we love reporting on the good news so that you know what you do in the culture can make a difference. Make sure that you're getting active out there. Get on wallbuilders.com today. Get some good materials. Get educated, equipped, and inspired to go out and be the catalyst for restoring those biblical values and constitutional principles in your community. Thanks so much for listening today. You've been listening to Wall Builders.
We stand undivided forever.